iLoveTheTruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Former Secretary of State James Baker remembered his longtime friend and former boss George H.W. Bush as having had the courage of a warrior, but the greater courage of a peacemaker. He made those comments today during an emotional eulogy at Mr. Bush's final public funeral in Houston. Mr. Baker began his comments with an apology using the nickname Jefe in Spanish, means boss. He said he was going to brag about Mr. Bush, even though the former president hated boasting. Mr. Bush is about to be buried during a private ceremony on the grounds of the Bush Presidential Library in College Station, Texas, near Texas A&M University. A locomotive unveiled in 2005 for a special exhibit at the library is being used to pull the late president's funeral train. The 4,300-horsepower machine set to carry Mr. Bush's remains along with friends and participants in the funeral. This is SRN News.
Lots of sunshine today and no rain. Our high today will be 62 degrees. This evening, mostly clear, overnight below 39. And tomorrow, another sunny day with no rain. The high tomorrow, 65 degrees.
Hey, welcome to SWAT Radio. This is Doug McCary of His Light Ministries, and we're glad you can join us today on this 6th of December. Weather's finally getting a little cool here in Jacksonville, and I'm glad that you can join us. I'm really excited about our guest today, although some of the Jaguar fans might not be that excited about him because he's a Pittsburgh fan, and we still are recovering from the wounds from that game a few weeks ago, but I'm really excited that Tunch Ilkin is our guest today. You may not know or have heard of Tunch unless you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, but he was very, very prominent in the NFL back in the 80s with Mean Joe Green all the way up through the 90s. And he developed this technique called the Tunch Punch, and I'm going to let him tell us a little bit about it as well as his life. I got to spend some time with him up in Pittsburgh a few weeks ago and really just enjoyed talking to him about the Lord, seeing how God's using him to do things up there. And the one thing that he would say is that football was merely a platform for him for ministry. And so, Tunch, welcome to SWAT Radio.
Oh, Doug, it's great to be on with you, bro. Great hearing your voice.
Yeah, I so appreciate just getting to meet you and spending time, and just what a great opportunity we had up there with what was it, like 450 men on that Saturday we got to minister to?
Yeah, there were more. More, you know, we found out that actually there was more than that, and you did a great job sharing your life and sharing the gospel and sharing how God is use different people in your life and how God is calling us to pour into other men's lives and to pass on the torch.
Well, and you guys did such a great job at the Bible Chapel. Was it your 50th year or 25th? I couldn't remember. 50th year.
50th anniversary. Yeah, it was our 50th anniversary of our men's Thanksgiving breakfast. Yeah.
Wow. Well, it was such a special time for me to be up there and to connect with one of your leaders named Jeff, who I actually had a chance to minister to 18 plus years ago out in California, and we had not talked since then, and just see what God has done in his life was really great. So God's really using you up there, but you know, it hasn't always been like that for you, has it, Tunch? I mean, this relationship with the Lord, you didn't start off in a Christian family, did you?
No. You know, I was born in Istanbul, Turkey. Doug, I know you're aware of this. I always joke. I say, I come to this country to play American football. but you know, I kick touchdowns. Anyway, We immigrated to the States when I was 2.5, and I grew up in a Muslim home, and my mom was devout, my father was not, and you know, because of the culture, you know, the Turkish culture is very masculine. It is you know, it's a fighting culture, it's a wrestling culture, and so I grew up with a bad image of Christians. I thought they were weak. I thought they were goofy. But then, you know, and then you know how Pascal says that there's a God-shaped void in the heart of every man, woman, and child, but that can only be filled by the person of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I felt that void, and I tried to fill it with drugs, and I tried to fill it with alcohol, and I tried to fill it with football. And I always came up short. You know, nothing really brought me that contentment, that fulfillment. And when I came to Pittsburgh in 1980, when I was drafted by the Steelers, Doug, I met a bunch of guys that loved Jesus, loved each other, loved me. They had a sense of purpose. They had a sense of calling. You know, they lived a life that really demanded an explanation. And I knew that they had something that I did not have. And I wanted to know. And I was very attracted. I always tell people that I fell in love with the body of Christ before the person of Christ. And these guys were just great guys, great teammates. And then when they started sharing the gospel with me, I wanted to know about this Jesus.
Well, and they were anything but wimpy, right?
Right, absolutely.
I mean,
yeah,
you know, talking about Donnie Schell and John Kolb and Mike Webster and those guys. I mean, you were playing with some what I would call heavyweight dudes, right? I mean, they were pretty stout.
9 Hall of Famers I played with from the 70s Steelers, and then 2 more I played with, Dermonte Dawson and Rod Woodson. But you're right, Doug. I mean, Donnie Schell was, you know, we used to call him the human torpedo. He would hit anything that moved. But he lived his life for Christ that way. I mean, on the football field, he was wide open, man. He was intense. He was physical. And as a Christ follower, he was intense. He was wide open. There was no backup in him. And he just demonstrated the love of Jesus and what it looks like to be a Christ follower. And then John Kolb was the same way. Colby was my mentor, taught me how to punch, how to use the hands initially.
So is he the one who helped you develop the tunch punch?
Well, he taught me. He was the one that challenged me to punch. But the tunch punch, I started working. 10 out of the 14 years I played in the NFL, I worked with a martial artist named Bill Edwards Sarge. And he wasn't a football guy, but he was a martial artist. But I would tell him what the defensive linemen were doing, the pass rush moves that they were using, and how they were using it. And so he would come up with a program that was foundationally martial arts, but we applied them to football. It's funny that it was what enabled me to stick around for 14 years. And I was just very, very thankful. And then the funny part, Doug, was when I got out of the game, I started getting calls from offensive line coaches throughout the NFL. Hey, could you teach me the tunch punch? I go, the tunch punch? Yeah, I saw your tunch punch video. I said, wait a second. I don't have a tunch punch video. They go, yes, you do. And it turned out it was a video that our offensive line coach sent our video guy to tape, and that got all around the NFL. And so there's only 1 year that I haven't worked with a team, and that was the year of the lockout. And I've been working with the Jacksonville Jags the last 4 years in a row. So for some of your listeners who look down upon me because I'm a former Steeler.
Steeler Nation.
But I come in and
you do help our guys. But are you, you're not sabotaging us, though, are you? You're not.
No, I'm teaching you. I want you guys. You know, Jeremy Purnell is a great guy. And the entire team, Tyler Shadley and Brandon Lindor and all those guys. I've worked with those guys for the past 4 years.
Well, you know, here's what's amazing, though. You know, most people don't realize, we'll probably have to go to a break in a minute, but I just, 3% of college football players make it to the NFL. They're only 3%, right? And those guys that make it a lot of times only get up there for 3 years. And you spent, what, 13, 14 years in the NFL?
Yeah, 13 years with the Steelers, and then my last year with the Green Bay Packers.
And you were a WHOP. Now, your position in the NFL was a tackle. And you were pretty undersized, weren't you, for a tackle in the NFL?
Yeah, I was 6'3", 260 pounds.
Yeah, that's more like a guard or a center weight, isn't it, in height?
Yeah, well, you know what? I was drafted as a center initially, Doug. But Mike Webster was Hall of Fame center, was the center here. And I thought to myself, I better find a new position. I'm never getting on the field because he never missed a snap.
And wasn't he one of the strongest guys in the NFL, Tunch, at one time?
Yeah, he won in 1980, he won the NFL Strongman competition. And he was a beast, Doug. I mean, he could throw 500 pounds, 450 on the bench and just rep it out. Like it was nothing. Well, and he had these hands that, you know, his fingers looked like sausages. And when he'd grab you right on the handles of the breastplate of the shoulder pads, and he would destroy you. You know, he was a great player.
Well, and you came out of Indiana State, right?
Right, yes.
And were you the first person ever drafted out of that football program?
You know what? I think I was. Maybe there was someone drafted before me, but nobody ever talked about it.
Well, and you would think in Terre Haute they would, because that would be a big deal, right?
It's a basketball school, right? Yeah. So it was, you know, we used to call it Larry Bird U, because I was there the same time Larry Bird was. And, but it was a great, you know, I didn't have many scholarship offers, actually just two, Eastern Illinois and Indiana State. So I chose Indiana State and had a great experience there.
Well, didn't you tell me when we were up there that your mom, because she didn't speak great English, actually thought when you weren't expecting to be drafted, were you?
No, I thought I was going to be a free agent. I was told by agents that I was too small and I was slow, so I had that going for me. And I wasn't expected to get drafted. And the day of the draft, the first day of the draft, the Giants called me up and told me they weren't going to draft me, but if nobody else drafted me, they wanted to sign me as a free agent. So my confidence was shot about getting drafted. Well, the Steelers ended up drafting me in the sixth round. Back then, there were 12 rounds, six rounds the first day, six rounds the second day. And I wasn't, you know, Doug, I wasn't waiting by the phone like I was going to get drafted. I was, you know, I just went on the campus, went to class, got my lift in, and I got home. And Sharon, who was my girlfriend, became my wife. Sharon called me and said, "Hey, congratulations, you're drafted by the Steelers." And I said, "How do you know that?" She goes, "They called your mom. Your mom freaked out because she thought you got drafted by into the Army. She called me, and I had to, you know, tell her what was going on." And then I said, "Oh, someone's playing a trick on my mom, and this couldn't be." And then I got off the phone with Sharon, and then the Steelers called me. Coach Noel called me up and said, "Congratulations." I had to call my mom back. I go, "Mom, I'm going to play for the Steelers. I'm not going to the Army. This is a good thing."
That's a pretty funny story.
Not that I wouldn't want to go to the Army and serve my country, but I was very excited to be drafted by the Steelers.
Well, I know. I just thought it was humorous when you shared that with me up there, that she thought you got drafted in the Army. She didn't.
Yeah, she freaked out.
She didn't grasp that. Well, hey, when we come back, and we're going to take a quick break, I just want you to start thinking. You had also shared about how Mike Webster had said something to you on an airplane that really challenged you. And that was really your beginning, your faith journey. But we'll talk about that. We'll be right back after this break. And listen, Tunch has a book called In the Locker Room, and you can go to Amazon.com and get it. It's called In the Locker Room, Tunch Ilkin, and he gives you some insights and conversations with players on and off the field now. He's still, by the way, an announcer for the Steelers. So we'll be right back after this break. We're talking to Tunch Ilkin, former Pittsburgh Steeler. Now he's a sportscaster. He's still coaching guys in the NFL, but most importantly, he's a lover of Jesus, and he's ministering to men and leading men up there. So we'll be right back and with SWAT Radio. And if you want to send in any questions, you can send them to ask@swatradio.com. We'll be right back after the break.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomnehl.com. Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. It's Doug McCary with Tunch Ilkin, former Pittsburgh Steeler, still a Pittsburgh Steeler broadcaster, coach of NFL linemen, follower of Jesus. And Tunch, so good to have you on the program today.
Great to be with you, Doug, as always. Really enjoy your friendship, bro.
Well, I just want to remind people, if they go to Amazon.com, listen, if you got football fans, Steeler fans especially, and I have some Steeler friends of mine, they're just, you know, that Steeler crew. I don't, you know, the Steeler Nation, dude. That they are. What if the body of Christ could look like Steeler Nation? mean, what if we had that kind of commitment? I mean, those people are so committed that I saw in the paper, Tunch, that they were choking other fans of other teams this last week, you know?
Yeah, there were a couple of bad incidents at Heinz Field last week. But, you know what? I always say that. What if we walked into church chanting, here we go, Jesus, here we go? You know, you know what? What if we entered church and took on the day? Like we were going into a football game, you know what I mean? With that kind of passion and that kind of emotion. And I'm sure that's the way, you know, David lived his life. You know, a man after God's own heart. I think it was because his passion, you know, he was just so in love with the Lord and so passionate about following hard after him.
Well, you know what it is the Pittsburgh Steeler Nation people, they get their identity with what takes place on that football field. And right. And for us as believers, if we could really get our identity in Christ and what takes place in his kingdom work, then we could have that kind of zeal, I think. And, you know, you had a zeal for football. And one day you were questioned by Mike Webster because you – tell us a little bit. You did not – you know, you didn't have this – what I would call sterling pure high school lifestyle and college lifestyle from what you were sharing with me up there. You know, you talked about alcohol and drugs and how that kind of invaded your life, and it really does invade our lives, and then it becomes consuming. Could you share a little bit about that, and then how Mike Webster kind of really confronted you about some of that stuff?
Oh, yeah. So, Doug, I was a druggie from 1975 till about 1983. I mean, I was a heavy drug user, obviously product of the 70s, and fell for the lies of false masculinity. You know, you need to do drugs to men drink, they do drugs, they chase women, they fight, and I fell for all of those lies. And as I was mentioning early, you know, I was looking for fulfillment in that, and I just didn't find it. And you know, I when I came to the Steelers, you know, I saw these guys, and there was something different about them. And my first start was on Monday Night Football against the Oakland Raiders in my second year in 1981. And you know, and I remember on the way back from Oakland, Mike Webster had me trapped in the back of the plane, and he said, "Tunch, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? And how do you know? If you died today and stood before the Lord, before God, and he said, why should I let you in my kingdom? What would you say?" And I was thinking, man, I didn't have an answer for that. I immediately thought, you know, God grades on a curve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I'm okay. I started looking around, kind of around the plane, and I was thinking, well, I'm not as bad as him, but I'm not as good as him. And, you know, I went back to my Muslim upbringing, which was a scales mentality, mm-hmm. That if your good outweighs your bad, then you could get into heaven. But even then, it wasn't a done deal, because there's a saying in Turkish, Allah bilir, which is Allah only knows how he feels about what he's going to let you do. And so, you know, in Allah, the God of Islam, is a distant and foreboding God, and you could never understand him. And so I was, you know, I didn't know God. I didn't know that you could have a relationship with God. And I didn't know that, you know, being a follower of Jesus was a relationship and not a religion. So I was questioning, you know, I was going, I don't know, Mike, I don't know. And I remember he went through the Romans road, and he said, you know, the Bible says that all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and fall short of the glory of God, or fall short of God's standard. And then he went on to Romans 6, and the penalty for that sin, or the wages, what, in other words, what you earn, because now this sends me back to my scales mentality, what you earn is death, but not just physical death, but spiritual death, eternal separation from God. But he said, the good news is the gift of God is eternal life, and it is in Jesus. And I remember when he told me those words, I was very captivated. Normally, you know, I heard a lot of people want to talk to me about Jesus through my college days, and you know, being down in Spring Bank and Daytona Beach. But when he uttered those words to me, I was mesmerized, and I said, "Really? Could it? Is the gift of eternal life really a gift? And can it be that easy?" You know, I mean, I didn't make a decision on the spot. My roommate Craig Wolfley was also was a dear friend of mine. He grew up in a Christian home, and he had been sharing the good news of the gospel with me as well. And his father was dying, and I remember the next year, we were at we did a midget football banquet, and when we came back, I said, "Craig, I said, your father's dying. You must be losing it. How come you seem so calm?" And I said, and he said, "Tunch, my father loves Jesus. The moment he closes his eyes here on earth, he will open his eyes in front of the living God, and who will say, 'Well done, good and faithful servant, enter your master's reward.'" Because the Bible promises us, absent from the body and in the presence of the Lord. And then he quoted 1 John to me, where he said, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this eternal life is in his Son Jesus. He who has the Son of God has eternal life. He who does not, does not. And I was, you know, and I was going, wow, so that's how you know. He goes, yeah, that you can know without a shadow of doubt. He says, but, you know, in John, later on in 1 John, he says, I tell you this so that you may know that you have eternal life. And it really threw me for a loop because, you know, as a Muslim, if you convert to Christianity, you're worse than an infidel. You're an apostate. Mm-hmm. And you're, and I was thinking about my parents. How would they take it? Would they freak out? You know, when we were in his car, he dropped me off at my house and he said, Tunch, he goes, would you like to pray to receive Christ? Because, you know, Romans 10 says that if you confess with your tongue and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God has raised him from the dead, you are saved. So it's a simple submission and receiving, submitting to Jesus, admitting that you're a sinner and asking him into your life. And he will forgive you your sins. And he said, would you like to pray? And I said, no. I said, I don't know, man. That would be too weird. I immediately backed off. And I said, I need some more time. He said, well, don't wait too long. I'd hate for you to die before you had that opportunity. Mm. I said, ooh.
Wow.
This is serious. So I went into my house, Doug. I was reading The Late Great Planet Earth because I was very intrigued by end time prophecy. And at the end of The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, he gives you an opportunity to pray the sinner's prayer. And so it was about an hour later that I was finishing the book, and he gave you an opportunity to pray the sinner's prayer. And I read the sinner's prayer from the back of that book, and I gave my life to Christ. And the next day, you know, it was the off season, and it was the next day I went to Lyft. And I told Wolf, I said, guess what I did? He goes, what? And I prayed to receive Christ. And I wasn't expecting him to be so excited. He goes, whoa, wait. And he hugged me and he said, hey, Colby. And he said, yelled at John, Colby, we got another one. And, you know, and the guys were celebrating Webby. And I was like, going, wow, these guys are really excited. I didn't realize at the time the significance of what I did.
Oh.
But slowly, as I started reading the Word and I started studying the Scriptures and I started going to Bible study and having fellowship, I realized the significance of what I had just done the night before.
Well, what's crazy is, and we got to go to the heartbreak on the half hour for news, but what's crazy is that God knew when you were at Indiana State that you would one day be the pastor of men at the Bible Chapel. And he was preparing all this, all these guys, to teach you community, to teach you hard work, to teach you all these things. And, you know, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about that, about really the state of men, because, you know, the SWAT I shared with you, our deal is very similar to what y'all do. We're, you know, we're a community of faith built around God's Word, with a heart to be close to our commander in prayer, with a heart to be making his last command our first priority, to go make disciples, to engage witnesses for impact, and to be a band of brothers. And I saw that in your ministry up there. I know he prepared you for that. And when we come back, I want to talk just a little bit about the state of men in our country and kind of this call for men to be in faith community. So thanks for sharing that. We're going to take a quick break, Tunch. And you're listening to Tunch Ilkin, a former All-Pro Pittsburgh Steeler. Now he's a sportscaster for the Steelers. And he's the men's pastor up at the Bible Chapel in Pennsylvania. And we'll be right back after this break. You're listening to SWAT Radio.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. It was a voice of country music star Reba McEntire. Performing the Lord's Prayer today at the final public funeral for former President George H.W. Bush at his church in Houston. And what could be more fitting than a warm country send-off for the one many Texans simply call 41, their favorite son.
Grace, humility, and Texas flair. Former President George Herbert Walker Bush to a T. The service at his Houston church, a little less formal than Washington, but that by design by 41 himself. He and Barbara's favorite group, the Oak Ridge Boys, sang Amazing Grace, and Reba fought back tears singing the Lord's Prayer. He'll rest now next to wife Barbara, who passed in April, and a daughter that passed at three back in 1953, at his presidential library and museum in Aggie Land, they call it, in College Station near Texas A&M University. Val Dior reporting.
Back in Washington on Capitol Hill, the split is growing over funding for the president's proposed U.S. border wall. We get the details from correspondent Wally Hines.
Both sides are staking out vastly different positions. A group of Senate Republicans has introduced legislation to give the president the full $25 billion he's requested, while House Democrats now say that they will push to delay the fight until next September. While neither proposal is likely to succeed, it does show how much work needs to be done to reach an agreement and avert a partial government shutdown just before Christmas.
That's Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. The North Carolina Republican Party says it would be open to a new election should an investigation find a high likelihood that wrongdoing swayed the state's unresolved congressional race on behalf of the Republican candidate. More of these stories from townhall.com.
You're still seeing some delays because of an accident still in the clearing stages on I-95 southbound at the exit at Emerson Street. That's been pulled out of the travel lanes. Also, there's an incident in Baker County on I-10 eastbound just before County Road 229, so be careful there. And congestion on the East Beltway 295 northbound and southbound near Bay Meadows Road. Sunny this afternoon, tonight becoming partly cloudy, low 40. Friday, mostly sunny, high 64.
Hey, this is Doug McCary at SWAT Radio. You're listening to Tunch Ilkin today with me. Tunch is the pastor of men up at Bible Chapel, probably a place he never thought he would be when he was in college. And if you've listened, if you're just catching in the program now, coming in, tuning in now, you missed him sharing about how God brought him from a life of really delving into alcohol and drugs as a college football player and really changed his life. And he did it through people that were right there next to him on the field, people that God brought around him. And that's why it's so important for us as men and even women, but specifically, you know, this program is primarily trying to call men to be the spiritual warriors that God's called us to be. And that's one reason I really resonate with you, Tunch, because I think the men in America have kind of, because of political correctness, because of all the messages from the media and everything else, the men in the church have kind of been silent on pretty key issues, and we're not living in faith community. And that's why I was real excited to see what you're doing up there with the men, to have these huddles that you guys have put together, you and Leo, and what y'all are doing, what you're doing at the Bible Chapel, what Leo's doing with Locking Arms. And just, could you share just a few minutes about what you see, because you travel around the country doing this sportscaster stuff with the men, and just are you as frustrated as I am sometimes with what's going on?
You know what? You know, I look at it, Doug, as a call to action. Yeah, I do get frustrated at times when I'm trying to recruit men to jump into a Bible study or into a huddle, and you know, they seem reluctant. And but one of the great things that trumps the frustration is when guys get excited about Jesus. You know, when I see men that get fired up and want to lead a Bible study or lead a huddle and start, you know, there's been so many stories of men over the last, you know, I started being the men's pastor in 2005. So many of these men that have come to one of our studies or come to our Spurgeon Society cigar night or come to one of our retreats, and all of a sudden, man, they've been able to cast off the shackles that have been holding them back, whether it's the shackles of addiction, the shackles of people-pleasing, the shackles of their past. Like Robert Lewis said in Men's Fraternity, that all men grow up, you know, with baggage. And to unpack that baggage, you've got to figure out what it is that's been holding you back. And that's and at that point, that's how men, that's how God could use men. And so what's really been cool in Western Pennsylvania and the Pittsburgh area, we have, you know, Stu Weber wrote a book called Locking Arms. Mm-hmm. And it has been a great book about men's relationships. And when I read that book back in the 90s, in the mid 90s, that's when I knew, man, I want to be part of the movement of men. I went to my first Promise Keepers, and I was, you know, I was in that same Three River Stadium that I'd played for 13 years, and so many big games and playoff games and great rivalries. But I will tell you this, Doug, I was in the top row of Promise Keepers, and I was never so emotional or so moved in all my career playing in the National Football League that I was that weekend at Promise Keepers. And that's when I knew that I wanted to be a catalyst. I wanted to be an encourager. And so slowly but surely, at that time I was in youth ministry. When I was in youth ministry for 6 years, when I got out of it, now I wanted to start ministering to men. And that's what it is. So we started because of a good buddy of mine, Jarrell Gilliam, who is a pastor and is the executive director at Light of Life Rescue Mission. And, you know, we meet once a month, the first Friday of every month, and it's a bunch of men's pastors and guys that we come together from all faiths, all denominations. And we come together and we have some worship, we have some teaching, sometimes testimony, and it has been great. And there's been a movement in the Pittsburgh area of men locking arms. Mm. And, and Leo started Locking Arms Men, and we started this organization called Locking Arms Pittsburgh. And
Leo's, you know, Leo Wisniewski, by the way, another former pro football player, actually a family of football players. You know, his son still plays with Philadelphia. And you guys have quite a friendship, too, right? Y'all have locked arms pretty good.
Yeah, Leo and I have been brothers in the Lord since we used to do an Athletes in Action football camp back in the early 80s. We did it for 10 years where we'd mentor young men and we'd coach them up, and it would be a football camp, but we had a football camp because we wanted to tell young men about Jesus. And so that was a great platform. And like, you know, I told you and we were talking about it, football is just a platform to share Christ. And I only know two things. I know Jesus and I know football. And the Lord, I'm not one of those bright guys, Doug, you know me. But I love the Lord, and I love the scriptures, and I love to study the scriptures, and I love to teach the scriptures, and I love football. And God has allowed me to combine the two of them for a ministry. You know, my Wednesday night Bible study class is called In the Locker Room. My radio show, 10 to 12 every day with Craig, where we get to talk about, we talk about Jesus all the time. You know, it's sports talk, but the station is a sports talk show, and we talk about, you know, we're the Steelers. We talk about Steelers and NFL football, but we also talk a lot about Jesus. And
well, it's part of your life. It's not just a compartment in your life, you know. And I think for a lot of men, what they do is they separate it out. And, you know, I know that you really want to see men hanging together, serving together, and training. And, you know, I want you to imagine for a second, Tunch, if you had come into the NFL and you trained individually, you came to practice to hear what the coach said, but then you kind of tried to do your training on your own. You never trained with your teammates. What kind of football team would you have if that happened? It wouldn't be
a lousy one.
Yeah, it wouldn't be effective. And I see a lot of men. What would you say to the guy out there who just shows up on Sunday to church, but he's not connected to any men in any kind of significant community of faith relationship? What would you say to that guy? You know?
I would say two things, Doug. Number one, you're missing the richest part of the body of Christ. You're missing the training together, the praying together, the laughing together, the crying together, the encouraging one another. And the second thing I'd say is you're living a dangerous life. If you're isolated and you've got no accountability, you know, in recovery ministry, they say that if you don't have a mentor, then your mentor is a fool, meaning it's you.
Wow.
And that's the truth. I'm saying you're living a dangerous life if you don't have accountability. Because, you know, in Stu Weber's book, Lock and Arms, he has a chapter that's called Guardrails, and that we are to protect one another, you know, and he talks about that if Jonathan would have never died, David would have never fallen to Bathsheba.
Wow.
Because who could hold the king accountable? Well, someone who entered into a covenant relationship with the king, and that's what Jonathan did. And that's you know, in other words, they had a huddle together. Mm. And when David stayed home, when the kings went off to war, Jonathan could have said, "What do you mean you're not going out to war? Mm-hmm. That's your job." And then when he looked at Bathsheba, "What do you mean you're looking at Bathsheba? Don't you know that's Uriah's wife? You mm-hmm. can't do that." So you could hold the king accountable if you enter into a covenant relationship with him. And so if you don't have that kind of you know, friend that's an encourager, that's an iron sharpener, that can hold you accountable. And number one, you're missing it. You're missing the joy. You're missing the fun. You're missing the adventure. You know, when Jesus called his disciples as he came to Simon and Andrew, he said, "Follow me and I will teach you to be fishers of men." You know, he called Simon and Andrew onto this great adventure. Well, guess what, guys? God is calling us onto the same adventure today. Follow me, and I will teach you to be fishers of men.
Yeah, coming from a guy who spent, you know, 14 years in the NFL, who with if you go back and you talk about the Websters, the Colbs, the Stallworths, the Shells, all these guys, and a whole host of others, the Tim Tebows, right, a bunch of believers who recognize that the NFL is not the greatest thing in the world. God is the greatest thing in the world. Jesus is the greatest thing in the world. And it's just a platform. Well, man, I swear, time is just flying by. we're going into our last segment. I want you, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about you know, you having to say goodbye to your sweet wife, Sharon, a few years ago, because we have guys that struggle with some things going on with wives that they've had to say goodbye to, or maybe their wives are ill. And you know, you had such a, you know, in talking to you about it, it was not pretend or fluffy. It was real. But you've continued on. And a lot of guys, they go away. They allow something painful like that to drive them away. And I want to just ask you a couple of questions about that journey, if you don't mind, if you're okay with that, when we come back from the break, okay? So you're listening
to
Doug McCary, talking to Tunch Ilkin, former All-Pro Pittsburgh Steeler. And on SWAT Radio, real quick shout-out to our sponsors, Caduceus Consulting, Ace Door and Window, Evolve Bank and Trust, and Mitel Technologies, and Tom Neal Trucking. Thank you guys for supporting us. If you want to catch this program later, you can go to www.swatradio.com or download our app, the SWAT Radio app, at the App Store. You're listening to SWAT Radio. We'll be right back after this last break.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
Hey, you're listening to Doug McCary on SWAT Radio of His Light Ministries. And sorry, Tunch, I had to get the Top Gun theme in there. I got to get it
You know what, Doug? I love your music. I love your intro music. It is great, man. I'm like sitting there going, let it play.
Well, because you're an 80s guy, right? You remember all this stuff, right?
Yeah, 70s and 80s. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, during the break, we were talking about a book you wrote called Forged in Steel. You were a co-writer with that, and about leadership. And you know, we have people that listen all over the country. And if somebody wanted to reach out to you about coming to speak, either just to a Christian function or even about leadership, how would they do that? What's the best way for them to get that? Do you have like a website or something that they can go to?
You know, I don't have a website, but you can call me at the Bible Chapel in Pittsburgh, and I have office hours there, and I'd be happy to come, and especially for a men's event. And I did the leadership. I did a number of leadership conferences, and a buddy of mine who we did these Forged in Steel leadership conferences, and it could be best summed up by saying everything I learned about leadership, I learned about my time. I learned during my time with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. And so Damian, who co-wrote the book with me, said, "Hey, there's a book here." And I'm like laughing. I go, "There's no book here. I don't write." And so he documented everything I said and put his input in it as well. And the book Forged in Steel, we wrote it maybe 10 years ago, I think, 8 to 10 years ago.
And it is available on Amazon. You can still get it on Amazon.
Yeah.
Well, and in that, I don't know if it's in that or you were sharing about it, but you shared a story about Art Rooney, also known as the Chief.
Right.
You and I think another player or maybe a couple other players, you were there. This was before you were drafted, I think. Share what happened with that particular story, if you know the one I'm talking about, where you talk about humility.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's written in both of the stories in both my books, because it was such a significant, it had such a significant impact on my life. So it was before the draft, before we were drafted, and it was me, Ted Walton, and Nate Johnson. And the three of us, we're getting our physicals, and now we're waiting to meet with Chuck in the lobby of the Pittsburgh Steelers offices, and you know where the locker room is and everything. And the four Super Bowl trophies are out in the lobby, and there's a giant mural of the AFC Championship game between the Steelers and the Raiders. And so we're sitting there getting ready to meet with Chuck, and the Chief walks in. Now the Chief is semi-retired at the time. Dan, his son, the ambassador, is running the team at this point. So the Chief is dressed very casually. He's got a cardigan on, and it's misbuttoned, so half of it is hanging down, you know what I mean? And he's got a giant ashtray, and he's chewing on a cigar, and he's dumping the little ashtrays into this giant ashtray. He's just tidying up around, the lobby. And so he said, "Hello, young fellas, what are your names?" And so we each introduce ourselves, and Nate, before he could introduce himself, he says, "Are you the janitor here?" And I'm like going, "Don't you know who that is?" And I'm elbowing him, and I'm just thinking, I'm so embarrassed, my ears are burning, and I'm thinking, I hope the Chief doesn't think Nate and I are buddies.
Definitely not. That's a very Peter-esque moment, right?
I know. Absolutely. And the Chief goes, he laughs, and he goes, "I do a little of everything around here." And what I saw was the Chief's chest swell up, and he was so honored to be thought of as the janitor. He was so honored to be thought of as a working man. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, what a example of humility. I thought that was
it's a great story.
And the Chief used to always say to his kids, you know, to Dan and Art, and to his grandsons, "Don't be a big shot." That was his mantra. Don't be a big shot. And you know, Doug, whenever he'd see me in the halls, he'd say, "Tush, my boy, how are things in Turkey? Are they still killing each other over there?" Just like Ireland.
That's funny. Well, hey, listen, we've got about 5 minutes, and I wanted to ask about Sharon. First of all, I don't know how a lineman like you got Sharon, a Sports Illustrated cheerleader, to be your wife. I don't know what amount of dowry you paid or who bribed the family, but you had an amazing wife, and you guys were married for what, about 30 years, right?
30 years.
And she passed away a few years ago from cancer, and I just... in a few minutes, could you just kind of walk us through how God has used that in your life and walking through that? Because we have people that go through some of those struggles too. And I just really appreciated you sharing up there about the rawness of it. But just take a few minutes to walk us through what happened.
Well, she passed almost 7 years ago. She battled cancer for 8 years. You know, we had 30... great years of marriage. We were dating 5 years, so we were together 35 years. We have three wonderful children, Tanner, Natalie, and Clay. In 2004, she was diagnosed with a tumor, a cancerous tumor in her breast. And, you know, she had a lumpectomy, and, her borders were okay. There was no lymph involvement, and we thought it was, you know, according to the doctor, it was going to be a walk in the park. Well, after the chemo and the radiation, the cancer came back very aggressively. And I had the privilege of taking care of her for the next 7 years after that. And, You know, it was very difficult. You know, we tried everything. We tried experimental medicine down in Tijuana, Mexico, Doug, and you know, it was just it was so hard to watch. You know, the one you love just deteriorate and the cancer to spread throughout her body. And the beautiful thing about Sharon is that she never stopped praising God. She never stopped praising God. And she would say, you know, to the kids and to me, and she would say, you know, God is going to be glorified in this. Whether he heals me or whether he takes me, he will be glorified. Mm-hmm. And, when she'd be in pain and she'd say something like, oh my. And then she said, she'd say, oh Jesus, how you must have suffered for me. Mm-hmm. And, she would always project her pain on what the Lord suffered. And, she was such a warrior. She was my beautiful warrior. And, we would read the scriptures, we would pray, and the elders would come over and pray over her, friends would come over and pray, and the last few months it was tough. We were in a hospital most of the time, and February 6th, the Lord took her. The kids were there, and our pastor was there, a couple of the elders, and a lot of my good buddies were there that had been come. It was very tough, Doug. It was heart-wrenching. It was heartbreaking. But I had the privilege of taking care of her. We had a great marriage for 30 years and just had a great love life together. And
well, you said something up there when we were together. You said, you know, I realized that I was being selfish because I wanted to keep her. She was in pain,
right.
But I wanted to keep her. And you came to a place where you realized that you had to stop focusing on yourself, really. And you said, I think you said something like this, and you can correct me. You know, when God took her, you struggled. It was really awful. It was hard.
Right.
And you said, and I wasn't okay, but I was okay with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was okay with not being okay because you missed her.
Right.
She was the love of your life, you know? And so we got about 2 minutes. So just if somebody's out there struggling, because the question that a lot of people wrestle with is, if God is good, why did he allow this to happen? How did you resolve that? You know, and I know that's a whole long show, but in a minute or so, just let me know.
Because I know that God, that she was with the Lord and she was out of pain. And you're right. I was, I was fighting for her, and I was fighting for her to hold on. And I was being selfish because I didn't want to see her go. When the heartbreak of it all, she was in so much pain at the end. She was taking Oxycontin and Oxycodone. And I remember looking at those pills after she was gone thinking, who could blame me? Who would know?
Yeah.
And then I realized the Lord he didn't speak to me in an audible voice, but he spoke to my heart and he said, Tunch, I would know.
Yeah.
Like he said to Paul a couple thousand years ago, my grace is sufficient. In your weakness, you will find my strength. And you're right. I wanted to go off the deep end. There was part of me that wanted to run, but the Holy Spirit said, you can't do that, Tunch. Mm. People are watching. And my grace is sufficient. And I kept living, you know, off that, my grace is sufficient.
And you have lived off that. And it just so impacted me. Well, listen, I want to get you back. Our time has come to an end, and man, the hour's flown by. So please promise me you'll come back. We can get more.
Dougie, I love your music. I love you. ask anytime. I'll be back on with you.
Okay. Hey, you've been listening to Tunch Ilkin. You can get his book, Amazon.com, In the Locker Room. Tunch Ilkin, blessings to you. Have a great Christmas. You've been listening to SWAT Radio. If you want to hear past programs, go to www.swatradio.com. Have a great day.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWAT Radio.